with that, we've had a wonderful Skype fellowship, and I'd like to hand the teaching over to Kim Tor, my beautiful wife. There you go, darling.
Well, it was wonderful sharing tonight. Really godly inspired. I just real honour and privilege to be able to join the fellowship on a Thursday night. I was at work today, and somebody said to me, "Why is your marriage so successful?" And I didn't even have to think about the answer. It just come to my mind that it's because we keep God first. And obviously they look at our posts on Facebook. They know Lawrence. And they see his posts on Facebook. And one of the young girls, they've been married about 3 years, and they're going through a really rough patch. And they've got a couple of young children. And she said, how could you help me with my marriage? And I said to her, well, when I first met Lawrence, I can't say I didn't believe in God, because that's not true. But I didn't know anything about God. That's the truth. Lawrence was a believer, and he was praying for a partner that also believed. So when we first got together, I guess Lawrence's pastor saw me as an unbeliever. And we know in 2 Corinthians it says, you know, that what fellowship have light with darkness, you know, we don't have... Well, let's have a look. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and in verse 14, I think. 13, 14. Yeah. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light..." Thank you, Lawrence.
Sorry.
Lawrence is battling away there. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" So, every Monday, this pastor would come to our house, and he would sit with Lawrence in the... We had two rooms. We had the living room, which was the posh room, you know, that nobody really sat in except if you had company. And then we had the back room, which sort of joined the kitchen, and you know, anyone that was anyone used to hang out in there. But he always used to sit with Lawrence, what I would class in the posh room, in the front room, you know, where the cushions were perfect, the carpet was perfect, because nobody ever walked on it, because nobody ever went in there. And he would brainwash Lawrence into... "She's not a believer, you know, you can't be with her, you've chosen someone that's not a believer," and, you know, and then this guy would talk with him for about an hour and a half, and then this pastor would leave, and then Lawrence would say, "You know, we can't be together." And it wasn't a great introduction for me. When I look back now, it wasn't a good introduction to me and God, because I felt that it was all God's fault at the time. So then the final straw came. I used to say to Lawrence, "Well, you do what you want to do. You know, I don't want to stop you with your, you know, moving with God." And you know, I didn't know if he was going to go down the road of being a pastor of the local church or whatever he was going to do. But then there was just something that... God worked in Lawrence's heart to keep drawing him back to me. So then the final straw come when Lawrence told the pastor that, "No, I don't need you to come anymore. I don't need any more counselling or anything. I believe that I'm in the right place." And the pastor just didn't see it, did he? Very religious, very like indoctrinated, and there was no heart, no love of God in anything that he was saying. There was no encouragement towards me or trying to bring me round to the word so that I could see, you know, that God was real. the one person that done that for me was Lawrence, when we used to sit down and we would listen to the teachings, or we would read the word, we would study the word. I mean, I think we could quote like 3/4 of the Bible, because we just really wanted to know. We were in search. Now, after that, that was when we went in search of a church, somewhere where we could fellowship, not just with one another and God, but with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I guess that's when I really learnt that first and foremost, our relationship vertically has to be bang on. Because there's no way you can have a relationship horizontally, because horizontally is worldly. And then you get the eyes come into it, the selfish acts. Whereas vertically, there is no I, and there is no selfishness. So for you to have a real strong relationship, that vertical relationship first has to be right. Your fellowship with God. Now, some people say, well, how can I have a fellowship, or how can I have a relationship with someone I can't see? And that's when it comes down to, you know, when we get born again, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and we believe with our mouth, our confession, our heart, we have faith. And there's nothing more that pleases God than faith. So, as your relationship vertically starts to mature, then your relationship horizontally gets improved. When we decide to fully trust God, then it's God that leads and guides us. And I believe right back, 30 years ago, that God was guiding Lawrence to be patient with me, to encourage me, to even go in search, even though Lawrence had his own church that he was going to, he was very open to other churches, because we were in search of the truth. It isn't just that somebody says something and we believe it. We want to know that what we are learning is the truth. Because, see, the world can make this word, the word of God, say what they want it to say. But really, we want to get to know God's heart and what God wants for us and what the word really means. You know, I know that people say 2 Timothy 2:15, study, is spedazo. Now, that's not actually studying the word of God. You have to get it all in context. But we do have to read the word. There's been a lot of that just recently about, is it the word or is it by the Spirit? Well, actually, it's both. Mm-hmm. And in a relationship with two people, it's both. Both have to work. Both have to put in a diligent effort, because otherwise the marriage won't continue. You know, someone that's actually looking for God, or maybe you're looking for a partner, don't think once you've got that partner, even if they're an unbeliever, that you're going to change them, because that doesn't work either. When me and Lawrence first got together, I know that if I never started to believe, Lawrence would have never stayed around. But he was patient, he was kind, he encouraged me with the word. When we went in search together, we were finding out truths together, and that made our relationship horizontally more stronger, because we were building a foundation on which to stand on. But we can't get into a relationship with someone that's not ever going to be a believer and think, well, you know, I love them, or maybe it's an infatuation at first, and that 2 or 3 years down the road you're going to change them, because that won't happen either. Galatians chapter 1 says, I'll just read it here, Galatians chapter 1. And in verse 10 it says, for do I now persuade men, or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. It is impossible to do both. But our first and foremost is that we please God. We are not men pleasers. Men pleasers, you know, it's a worldly thing. And if you really want your relationship vertically to be strong, then you need to be a God pleaser. And if you want your relationship horizontally to be strong, you need to be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. So then after probably, oh, I don't know, 8 or 10 years, we really built a strong foundation, and both of us had personally were able to put God first. We weren't trying to please men, but we were really trying to please God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and in verse 5, and it says, and beside this, give in all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And you do all those things in a relationship. And then at the end it says, and to brotherly kindness charity. Nothing beats charity. The love of God. Nothing beats the love of God. And especially when you're in a relationship. You know, having that love of God, remembering through the tough times to have that love of God, when the debts are high
and the funds are low.
Yeah. Have charity. Because see, that love of God really does supersede anything that the world can throw at you. When we get together, when me and Lawrence first got together, yeah, it may have been an attraction thing. And then gradually, as the weeks and the months and the years go by, it's that love permeates every ounce of our being. That love of God, you know, having patience with one another, having virtue, having temperance, you know, gaining knowledge. Not just knowledge of the word, but knowledge of one another, because this is two people from different backgrounds trying to live together. You know, and we all have our habits and we all have our ways of doing things, and all that within a marriage sometimes really rubs against one another. It's a bit like when you're trying to make a fire and these sticks are rubbing, and then suddenly, boom, the fire goes and sets off within the relationship. But remembering that you can take every situation to God, and that God hears your prayers. He knows your heart, you know, and he's never going to leave you or forsake you. But he wants a relationship with you just as much as you want a relationship with your husband, your wife, your brother or your sister in Christ. You know, and praying together. Never going to bed on an argument. Raising the children in the word. Praying together for your goals and desires. Discussing together your future goals. And encouraging each other. It's no good me going off on a whim and praying that, right, okay, well, this time next year I'm going to be travelling to 6 different continents and I'm going to preach the word. And I don't tell Lawrence. You know, I'm off on my own little journey. No. Well, I'll read that in a minute, but let's carry on. Always checking what the word says about relationships, whether it's a brother and sister relationship, whether it's a husband and wife relationship. The word has all the answers. Ephesians. Let's just take a look what it says about the marriage. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to read in verse 25. And I don't read this willy-nilly. I want you to really listen. And If you have time, take time and read it yourself. Go over it. So we're in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now that is a real mind blower. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, it's not saying that the husband's got to go and die for the wife, because that's what Christ done. No. But just look at it in the in-depth, the heart behind it. You know, God's saying to you, if you have a wife, husband, take care of her. You know, he's the head of the house. He's responsible. You know, if something goes wrong within that relationship, it falls on him. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Then we're going to read verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And again, it's not just reading that and not fully taking it in, but understanding that that man of God has to know who he is in Christ. That he loves himself. He loves every ounce of him, of who he is in Christ. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Proverbs chapter 31. And I just totally. If I had to choose a favourite chapter in the Bible, it would be this one. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Listen up, ladies. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favour is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. See, there's responsibilities throughout the Word of God for a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, a child, grandparents, husband and wife. The Word covers every aspect. So if you're going through situations right now and things aren't quite going the way to plan, then just ask God. See, it's God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He will show you. He will light. He will lead you. He will guide you. Colossians chapter 3. And dogs are scratching their backs. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Again, you know, this covers the part where you may have had a little argument and you go off to bed angry. You don't sort it out. The next day, that anger's turned into treble anger. So you go another whole day without speaking. And there's the door. The door's open, the adversary's in, and division comes. The Word of God says not to let your sun go down upon your wrath. Never go to bed angry. Whether it's with your husband, whether it's with your wife, whether it's with your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ. Never go to bed angry. Ephesians, back to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 22 this time. 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And here's the big one. For the husband is the head of the wife. A lot of women don't like that one, but I love it. Because if something serious goes wrong, I always say to Lawrence, well, you're the head of the house. You're the head. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. And we're going to jump right down to verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see, there's a responsibility there. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. You know, in Proverbs, it says, iron sharpeneth iron. And that is what a couple does. You know, they sharpen one another. They're encouraging one another. They're inspiring one another. They're letting that spirit work within them to communicate to each other. You know, you have goals, you have desires. Love never gets angry. Love never loses its temper. And love is never violent. Love is patient. Love is kind, and love always encourages. And remember, God is love. As we build our relationships vertically with God, then our relationships horizontally will really bloom, whether it's with a partner or a brother or sister in Christ, it will always improve. After 33 years of marriage, our relationship has grown stronger, first vertically and then horizontally. I love Lawrence more now than I did 5 years ago. When I first met him, it wasn't love, it was infatuation. We were attracted to each other. But, you know, when you see God working within each other, that really does inspire you. And it brings you closer, not only to God, but to your partner. You know, seeing the world today and how marriages are just thrown away. people no longer communicate or work through their issues. Statistics. Here we go. I'm one for statistics. I love statistics.
Yeah, 34, 24.
No. Divorce. How many divorces, Lawrence, do you think there was in the year 2017? Don't forget, we're 2019.
What, in the UK or the world?
In the UK.
Probably about 100,000.
Ooh, you're close. 120,000.
Wow, not bad.
Which is 48% of the United Kingdom divorced in the first year, from the first year to 10 years.
Wow.
So 48%. And that's expected to increase by 10% each year. I think that's devastating. That society has taken the word of God out of the UK. You know, our churches are being turned into flats.
Or mosques.
Or mosques. You know, the preachers are so religious that, you know, you can't ask questions, otherwise they say that you're, you know...
Questioning.
you're questioning it, and they don't take the time to share with you. And so... There's no institution for anyone out there to promote a godly marriage, for people to sit down before they get married and have a talk with a pastor, and that pastor say, well, look, if you're getting married because you've only just met and it's infatuation, I won't marry you. Like, we sat down with our kids, didn't we? And we told them. And we.
Danny's 10 years now, Leanne's... Years.
Well, Dan is 10 years, I think Leanne's 12 years, yeah.
Married.
You know, it's... We sat them down and we explained what marriage was and that there was no out.
Like the mafia.
It was like the mafia. Once you're in, you're not out. But the communication, that, you know, they had to talk, they had to sort their problems out, and that the grass is never greener on the other side. So... We're not to be like the world, because with God, all things are possible. So before rushing into a relationship, why not put God first and trust Him to lead and guide you to the right person? You know, I want to finish off in Ecclesiastes, and this really, really bless my socks. Ecclesiastes chapter 4.
Your socks off.
Bless my socks off, because... You know, we see today in society, and we know that the world's not a good place. The news has never got anything good to promote. But somebody that has been married as long as we have, and have raised a family, and still have a strong relationship after all those years... It's only down to God. It's a great, great sort of...
You're proud, love, aren't you?
I am proud, in a good way. But it's a great reputation for people that it does work. Marriage does work. It takes a lot of work, but it does work. It's just that you have to be humble first to God, vertically. And then... humble to your partner, but not always just husband and wife. I'm talking about relationships with believers, with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You still got to have that give and take. You know, sometimes I say to you, oh, this person's done my head right in, and you say, love, you've got to be loving, because love conquers all. So we're going to finish off here in Ecclesiastes. And it's in chapter 4. And we're going to read, just one second, because I know I'm... Right. So, we're going to read in verse 9. 2 are better than 1, because they have a good reward for their labour. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I see that threefold cord as me, well, as God, you, and me.
Christ the head.
Threefold. Threefold cord cannot be broken. So, bringing it back to the very beginning where I started, and that girl at work asking me what made my marriage work, by me saying it was God first, you and me, that's the threefold cord that can't be broken.
Yeah.
So God has to be first in everything we do, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in brotherly love or sisterly love. We're a family. Family of God has to be God first in everything we do. Take all your cares, worries and doubts to God, because he'll never leave you or forsake you, and he may just surprise you just when you need it most. So, God bless.
That's great, Kim. And the other thing I was thinking about when Kim was sharing that was, you know, in a relationship, if both parties are willing to make it work, then it can work. But obviously, some relationships, the other partner ain't willing.
Yeah.
And so there's many variables and factors to think about. And so that's why, you know, when we're choosing a partner, we really do want one that loves God and, you know, that we can base our relationships with God. Like, you know, teach the people, like our kids, teach Maya. We taught Leanne, we taught Danny, you know, and Danny, Amber wasn't a believer when Danny first met her. Nick wasn't a believer, but they believe now, you know, and they work things through and they come to us as well, and we can guide them and help them as much as we can. We haven't got the perfect marriage. You know, we in the very early days, man, we used to fight like cat and dog. But again, it was God at the centre, and he's what, you know, so we're not trying to put ourselves out as if we got the perfect marriage. But with God we have.
Yes.
You know, and we're both willing. We're both humble to God and Jesus Christ and what's been done for us. And then we work the things out, you know, and if we do disagree, we just put it on a back burner until God shows us what to do. And, you know, and if believers done this amongst themselves, you know, like they may not agree on doctrine or something like that, something may come up, but if we're walking with God and we're walking with the love of God, we can put things to the side until it becomes clear to the party that's wrong. And, you know, love covereth a multitude of sins, you know. So, like, love does conquer all, you know. And so, I don't want anyone to feel condemned or whatever who's may listen to this on the internet,
that,
or if you're single,
never.
And it doesn't matter how old you are also, because you can always find that. But, you know, Donardo Muntz, he's 60-odd, and he's got a beautiful wife, you know, and keep Donardo in your prayers. I've seen on Facebook that he was in hospital or something with his heart, but I believe he's okay. At the same time, you know, we need to, you know, there's no condemnation, number one. And, you know, I was married before I met Kim. Kim was married before she met me. We were young when we got married. I was 16, divorced at 20. Kim was in a similar situation, and it didn't work out, you know. And there's still life after, like we used to say, there's life after the ministry. Well, there's life after broken relationships. My mum was married 4 times, and she was never married to my dad. How about that one? You know, and she found peace at the end, and she had a good, you know, nice, she didn't get married again, but she had some good relationships. So the point is, you know, a relationship, should
God
I say.
First.
So the point is God first, and if the other partner is willing and humble and, you know, you can work with each other, you can work all these things out. No one's got the perfect marriage, because it takes work. It's a relationship you're building all the time, just like we are with God and our relationship, you know. So I want to add that in. So anyway, with that, I think it's been a great Skype fellowship and different angles, and God is speaking many different things, and we can take it for our lives and apply the things that have touched our heart. God has spoken to each of us. So I think it's really great. And it's 10:30, so we've done well tonight. I think what's on my heart is to have some prayers and manifestations. I would like to ask Anna to pray and Annie to pray after Anna, if that's available. And then I would like whoever wants to manifest can manifest. So Anna, would you like to take it away, sweetheart? And then Anna, Annie afterwards.
Okay. Thank you, my dear Father, for the time that we have together, how healing it was, and such a joy in our hearts, Father. Thank you so much for that, and also the teaching, how we can learn and how we can see new things and learn with each other about our experiences and the things that we do, thinking of you and honoring you, Father, and you doing your will, Father. Thank you so much for that, for everything that you made available for us to live and to live in these days and to see us. Thank you so much for each one of us here, for our lives, our works, our families, everything that is related to us. I deliver in your hands, dear Father, and also I deliver in your hands all the words that we are going to hear. The hearts can be quiet and in peace, because there will be beautiful words and exhorting words, words that will heal our hearts and exalt us. Thank you so much, Father, for making that available in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
So, Annie, would you like to pray, darling?
Yes. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for you choose us to be your son and daughters. Thank you for all you did in our life, God. Thank you for the heart of loving you make in us. Thank you, God, to guide us in what you want. Alone what you want, God. Open our heart and make your love and your guidance and making our heart, God, what you want for us. Thank you for all you did. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for the relationship between us. Thank you for the praying, God, for one, for each other also. I just want to say thank you and thank you and thank you from my deep heart. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Beautiful, amen. If someone wants to bring forth a word of prophecy.
Truly, you are my children. I have given you my word, and you can really have confidence in who you are, because you are my children, and you have a spirit of strength, love, and wisdom. You can speak my words and enlighten people through these words, because I am God, because I inspire you, I instill in you the best. You are light of the world, salted. I give you my word. I love you.
For I am a mighty God, and I have called you to be my sons and daughters, and that my family is growing on a daily basis. Fear not, and don't be anxious in your hearts or your minds, for I am a true, faithful God, And as you come to me and you pour your hearts out to me, I will pour blessings upon you. Know that you have to no fear. Just walk in love and know that I will come through. Know that nothing pleases me but faith. And as you come to me, you're showing me your faith. Know indeed as you walk out boldly, knowing that I am with you and I'll never leave you or forsake you. For as a parent loves their child, I love you more dearly. So please look to me in every situation. Know that I am there for you. And that as you call on me, I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things. Things that you've not seen. Continue to walk in great love. And don't be cruel to yourselves. For you are precious. You are my children. You are everything I want you to be. And you just need to see that. Just see that Christ within you. See what I have made you to be. You are my masterpieces. You are perfect in my sight. So continue to walk and talk with me, your Heavenly Father, knowing indeed that you will never have a need in your life when you come to me, because I will fulfill those needs, because it is written in my word that when I make a promise, I never break it. I love you, my children. So continue to have that relationship with me. Call out to me. And I will always be there for you.
Keep your hearts at peace, my people. For I am your God. I care for each and every one of you. I place that spirit in you so you can walk out with all boldness and have all peace and not be fretting about the things of this world. Just listen to me and I will give you those words. The words I've given you are seeds that you can plant. But don't try to make them grow. Only I can make them grow. Just have the peace and just listen to me and you will see great fruit abound everywhere you go with all the people you see and all the places you go. So just follow me, love me, and I always love you.
Amen. My dear beloved children, know this day that I am with you and I am your Father. And I have taken the veil from off your eyes so you can know who you truly are. So why look at this world? Why look at the circumstances? Why look at the problems? Are they not taken care of in me? Have I not provided you all things? My children, have faith. Come to me. You cast all those burdens upon me. You roll everything to me. Leave nothing undone. Give it all to me. And I will answer it so quickly that your heart will rejoice. Because I am your Father and I want to please you and bless you. And I want you to please me too by listening to my voice and doing the things that I put in your heart to do. To obey my voice is when my blessings come after you. My children, I need your faith. So receive everything that you've received tonight and do it. Just do it, my children. Then you will see great doors open before you. I've removed every barrier. I've covered every pitfall. So keep your eyes focused on me and you are to walk by faith, not by your sight. Knowing indeed you are victorious because I have made you victorious. I have given you my Holy Spirit, my children. You are lights in this world. Devils tremble before you. And they don't want you to know who you are, but I want you to know who you are. That's why I've written my book. So my children, look into that law of liberty and keep it and stand fast in it. And my children, you are mighty powerful witnesses in me. There's nothing impossible to you. So come to me, give me your desires and move in them, for I will bring them to pass as you give them to me. You have not because you haven't asked. Now get bold about asking, for I will answer them, because I am the mighty God. I am your heavenly Father, and I am blessed to serve you, so that you will serve me, my children. So stand strong this day. I have freely given you all things to enjoy. Fear not, for I am your God. And someone a word of thanks, please.
Father God, thank you so much. Thank you for everything that you say to us, everything that you do for us. I thank you so, so much that you just give us peace and you encourage us. You never ever put us down. Even if we're putting ourselves down, you're just trying to lift us back up to where we should be. I thank you so much for these words we just heard. And we know that your calling out to us is always peace, peace, no fear. Fear not, have peace. And I just thank you that we can walk with that, and we can walk being still in our hearts, knowing that you are God. You've got every situation covered before we've even entered it. I thank you that you're behind us, before us, you're the way around us, and that we don't get tricked out in our minds by the enemy, that we remember who we are, and we each thing that comes up, we can just smile and thank you and just ignore the voice of the other one and just cleave to your voice and your Son Jesus Christ, our King. And I thank you so much for what you've done for us all. Thank you for a great rest of the evening or day, wherever you are in the world, and great weekend coming up and week ahead, and that we just walk through victory after victory and open door after open door. In your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. And they all said, amen.